this is going to be laying the foundation. This is week one. And so before we get into chatting about what that means, I just wanted to give you a little background on what is EWIT, where did it come from, why do we have it, and no, I didn't find it. This was the brainstorm of Jill Ragg, our pastor Mark's wife, and other women in the church, like Linda and other women who realized that Sunday morning wasn't enough time to answer questions in the hall that women had about, my toddler stopped taking naps. How do I get homeschooling done with all of these different people and personalities? Or I don't know how to host people. This is terrifying, or et cetera. You just multiply that. And so the comment that the world has classes for parenting, what about the church's classes, was kind of the fuel for, let's make something that would help women in the body to feel equipped to run a home, to be hospitable, to obey the Lord, and to honor him with their life. And so that's what we're going through right now, is laying the foundation. And this is the first chapter, but that's what we're going through. That's what EWIT is. So you may not be a wife yet, but this is really useful because all of us are women, desire to love and please the Lord. We're going to have interactions with people who are married. We're going to have interactions with people who are younger than us, who are teenagers or children or infants. And these are all practical skills that we can use to be encouraging to them. So even though you might think, I'm not there yet, just know this is like you're putting the tools in your tool belt or in, you know, your bag of utensils that you're going to need. You'll need this at some point to be an encouragement to someone, to be able to rightly divide the truth and know, I don't know about that, right? So I want you to just think through that as we're going through. This week is not particularly pertaining to parenting or to child raising, but this is just the foundation. So the idea of this week is that if we are attempting to strive and work without the Lord, it's not going to come to much. We have to build our life and the purposes that we have. We can set about all the organizational tasks and chore charts and schedules, but without the Lord, without attending to his principles and letting everything kind of be bathed in that, we're not going to have success. So I want us to first start by looking up some scriptures together. If you have a Bible or a phone, then that would be great. And I'm just going to go around the room and ask you to look it up and get ready, okay? So, Christina, would you look up Isaiah 58, 13 and 14? Lana, 1 Timothy 4, 8. Melanie, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Christina, Galatians 5, 16. Mary, Isaiah 55, 6. Agnes, 2 Timothy 2, 15. Lizzie, Psalm 119. I'm going to have you do verse 105. Thea, do Psalm 119, 159, just 160.
Nellie.
Okay. 2 Timothy 2, 15. And Alma, Philippians 4, 6. So just kind of hang out with you, and we'll get to your scripture in just a second. So I want you to think about the things that you have on your to-do list when you start at the beginning of the day. Maybe you don't have a to-do list, and we'll teach you about that this summer. So maybe you just kind of roll out of bed and go with the flow. But we have a to-do list. Maybe it's just running in your head of the things you want to accomplish. Now think about at the end of the day when you're like, man, I did not get to fill in the blank. Are the things at the end of the day the things that really had to get done, or are they the leftover things? For instance, was eating ever at the bottom of the list? Like, I did not make any time to eat. Or what about using the restroom? Or just sitting down for a moment and resting? Or breathing? Blinking? Were any of those things that, no, they're never on the I didn't get to them list, right? The rollover list. I just call it a rollover list, right? Why is that? We make time for the things that are important to us, right? We choose with our actions to make time and prioritize the things that are important to us. So if you are not getting to those things, certain things, you can probably ascertain logically, those things are not as important in my life as other things because I'm just not getting to them. I'm not making the space to prioritize them. What about the things at the bottom of that list you want to be important? So maybe you didn't get to reading your Bible today. You're like, I really wanted to read my Bible. That's a great opportunity to reevaluate, how am I using my time in order to prioritize what I'm doing with my life, right? How I can spend my time the most valuable way, like getting the most bang for my buck, your minutes, right? And at the top of this list, along with spending time with the Lord, should be spending time with the Lord in your local body, which, interestingly enough, that is where the Lord prioritizes our involvement in relationship with Him in the scripture over that quiet one-on-one time we often hear referenced nowadays, right? Like your quiet time or your devotional time. The focus is on coming and being in the local body. So it doesn't mean you neglect your personal time, but if you didn't get to spend time with the Lord this week, make sure that you're coming and being with the body and being encouraged and refreshed. Make sure that you're coming and spending time sitting under preaching and teaching, singing with the body, being encouraged, seeing your sisters in Christ smile at you and ask you how you're doing. Somehow the Lord has a way of using that to kind of revive our spirit in a way that stokes that tenderness for Him sometimes when we feel like, man, I've really slacked off. It's like, Lord, I'm so grateful. Look at all of what you've given me. It's very sweet. So I want to encourage you, don't put off that attendance to the body or your time alone with the Lord. Make sure that we're putting priorities on that, as much priority as you put on maybe like getting dressed for the day or making sure that you drink some water, right? Those things we often prioritize, like I've got these really big goals. I'm going to drink a gallon a day, or I'm going to make sure I get my walk, or I'm going to floss. I don't know. I'm thinking of things where you're like, we make these goals and we feel really good because we are keeping up with them. But Paul reminds us that what we should be focusing on is our eternal life, our eternal soul. So 1 Timothy 4 talks about our self-discipline and what we do with our bodies lasting for a short amount of time versus a long amount of time, which is the spiritual input. That lasts for eternity. So if you have to hold them up side by side and you're like, I only have 30 minutes today, Lord, of free time. Am I going to read the word or am I going to go... So I'm going to say jazzercise. We're not jazzercising anymore. I don't know. Like lift weights, right? I'm going to focus on reading the word because that is what's going to benefit me for eternity, right? Who has 1 Timothy 4:8? Would you read that, Lana?
For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds a promise for the present life and also for the life to come.
That is exactly what we need to remember, is that my bodily training is of some value. It's some value. It's not to be neglected, but it's only of some value. My spiritual training, my spiritual discipline is for all of eternity. Maybe you could even listen to the Bible and scriptures while you're like doing your walk. That's awesome, right? You're like double timing it. But don't neglect your spiritual disciplines. Don't neglect pouring the word into your soul, because that is going to help you to know what to do with the whole rest of your day. Who has Psalm 119:105?
I do.
Would you read that, Lizzie?
Mm-hmm. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
So if you've ever been somewhere dark, you know that you need a flashlight to see what you're doing, or you're going to quickly like stub a toe or trip, right? Think about that like God's word. It's shining a little path. And this is the right way I need to go in the midst of sometimes darkness. You feel there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of decisions. I don't know which way to go. And so I want you to think, do you know everything that's going to you're going to encounter every day? We can all like chuckle, right? Like, okay, so who had something happen today that they were not expecting? Okay, Agnes, you want to tell us what happened today? What happened? A brief phrase. What happened today that you were not expecting?
Car troubles didn't make it to work.
Car troubles didn't make it. Oh, man. That's hard. Alma?
AC issues, and I have to move out.
AC. Okay, so.
But in God's providence, like, it's beautiful because the Lord connected me with two sweet sisters here. They're realtors, and now they're helping me find a home.
Praise God.
Yeah, you wouldn't have had that opportunity.
Yes.
So, did you know when you got up today, I'm going to have AC or car troubles? And I'm going to persevere in trusting you, God, through that unknown thing, right? We do not know what will happen every day. And we often don't know what to do when those things hit us. Have you ever been in the middle of handling one situation and another one comes? Mary, you have 4 kids. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been dealing with one situation with one or two or three, and something happens over here with one or two or three other? Yeah.
Every day, all day.
So, do you find your default is to be like completely logical and patient and rational with every child and all of the... Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is why we need Proverbs 3. Who has Proverbs 3?
I do.
Would you read that?
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight.
So you're going to make numerous decisions, take numerous actions, speak a whole lot of words, have numerous temptations come before you, and that's all before lunch, maybe even like 9 a.m., depending on your life and who you're encountering, right? Are we prepared in our own strength to handle those things? No, we know we're not, right? And what's going to happen if we are not prioritizing renewing our mind? John MacArthur has this great quote, "The transformed and renewed mind is the mind saturated with and controlled by the Word of God." So when I think of saturated, I like to think about a sponge that's been like used, because I feel like that's really accurate when I feel like thirsty for the Word. Like, I'm not just like the sponge out of the package, which is like kind of, you know, like not too bad looking, right? But if it's been used, it's kind of like dry and it looks really, you're like, how is that going to do anything for me? It's so little. And then you put it in water and it's just like, and it comes back to life. It sucks it all up, all the water or whatever liquid you're soaking up with it, right? That we want to be saturated so that when the car breaks down and the AC stops working and we get pressed, out comes godly attitudes, out comes scripture. Charles Spurgeon said about John Bunyan, if you pricked him, he would bleed bibline. He's Bible saturated. Are we Bible saturated? Do you feel like you're Bible saturated? And if you're not, that's okay, because we can get, you can get there. You can say, Lord, help me to become Bible saturated, and then we can start taking steps to walk in obedience, because the joy of walking in obedience is then we're filled up with God's joy, because we're living in His love, because we're obeying. And it's like that lovely circle, John 15, right? We're abiding in God's love as we obey. So if you aren't saturated, we're going to talk today about how to get saturated so that when we're squeezed, it may not be a broken down car, it might just be a child that's like spilled milk, or a coworker that didn't show up on time, or someone's got a crummy attitude, or I don't know. There's a whole mess of things. And we were driven behind one of those guys on the truck on the interstate. He's got like a big dumpster, and he's got like the gravelly things, and they're like floating out. And you're like, oh, please don't hit my windshield. And they're hitting. You're like, please don't crack my windshield, right? We don't have to go through our day like that. We can just be confident. Lord, I know whatever happens today, I may not know what it is, but I know You've equipped me to handle it, because I have Your Word and Spirit. You're going to strengthen me to handle these things the right way. And when I fail, because I will, right? We live in a world that's under the curse of sin, and we are also sinners, though redeemed. You have given me a way to You through Christ. All I need to do is repent. I don't have to live in the condemnation I once did before I was saved. Isn't that great? There's a lot of freedom there. So let's talk about how do we make this priority of spending time with the Lord. I want to look at Galatians 5. Who has that?
I have.
Okay, let me put there, because I want to read with you. Hold on. And then whoever has Isaiah 55, would you get ready to? All right, would you please read, Christina?
But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh.
That reminds me of, I want to flip over to Romans 8, if you want to flip over there. Romans 8 talks about walking by the flesh, and those who live according, verse 5, to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. So when we renew our minds according to Scripture, we're thinking on things of the Spirit, and then we are living by the Spirit. But if we are not spending our time soaking our minds, right, that little sponge, in the Word so that we are thinking and dwelling on spiritual things, what will happen? We will live according to the flesh. Those who set their mind according to the Spirit, who live according to the Spirit, set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is a life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's encouraging and convicting, isn't it? So Let's read Isaiah 55:6 as well. Let me flip there.
Do you want me to read it? Isaiah 55:6, sorry. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near.
So let's let that be the cry of our heart continually all day, fervently, as our needs are revealed to us. I have no car. I have no patience. I have no kind words. Lord, I don't have a solution to these problems, just like Eric preached on Sunday, as the Lord puts us in these desperately impossible situations within our life to cry out to him and call on him. And we do that by prioritizing, spending time with him, soaking our mind in his word, not neglecting fellowshipping with the body, hearing teaching, sitting under the preaching, and then meditating on those things, storing up those things in our hearts so that we can walk forward, like you read, Lizzie, with guidance. Who has Psalm 119:159?
It's me. Could you read that? See how I love your precepts, O Yahweh, receive me according to your loving kindness. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments is everlasting.
Amen. So do we ever feel that it's hard to have time with the Lord and prioritize it? What are some of those things that we feel like is like keeping that from being a priority? Anybody want to share?
An infant.
Other people. Needy people.
I'd say sinful responses. It gets a little hard getting into the scriptures after like a couple of sinful responses throughout the day.
Yeah.
Not being disciplined.
Not being disciplined. Anybody else?
Yeah. What to do? Prioritizing your to-do list over your spiritual stuff.
Yeah. Why would we do that? Why do you think, what's the temptation?
Because your family is right in front of you.
Yes. So to take care of the needs, the loudest, what is it, the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Mom, I'm hungry. Mom, I need. Mom, I need. Mom, honey. Mom.
Mm-hmm. Why else might we prioritize a to-do list?
Because we want what we want.
Yeah. It feels good to get stuff done, doesn't it? You're like, yes, I'm getting stuff. I'm being efficient. I'm being productive. And we have suddenly, without maybe intentionally, shifted, right? Our value is no longer in the Lord. Our value is now in what I do. I mopped the floor. I organized the cabinet. I did all my laundry. I did my taxes. I cleaned out my car. I did cleaned out my neighbor's car. Like, we just have a list. And we're like, yeah, I am really killing it today. I am just, like, so efficient. Wow, look at this. We are no longer, I'm trusting in God. I'm looking for opportunities to serve the Lord. It's all about my to-do list, which is great to get those things done. That's incredible. But what happens when you wake up and you have, you know, you've pulled a muscle and you cannot do all those things? Can you be as content as the day that you did all the things that you required using your physical body? Did you sin against somebody on the way to getting all that stuff done, like a steamroller? I was so intent to get my task done, I didn't care who I rolled over to get to them. Did you give yourself the glory? Were you patting yourself on the back, boasting, wow, I am so efficient, look at me. Or even something else, like this system is so great, whatever this little system I'm using, it's so excellent. This system, it makes all the difference, right? And suddenly we become evangelists for a system or a book or a program instead of for the Lord. So we really have to watch our heart for where we're finding our contentment. It's good to be efficient. It's good to take care of the needs of our family. For sure, we're not suggesting you should not, but to not let those things come before. Now, sometimes you might have to pause those things, right? So, like, let's say we have these proper priorities that we're fighting for. Like, do you ever feel like it's a fight? I'm going to wake up early this day. Have your children ever woken up early on the day you woke up early? Mary, he's nodding her head.
He does. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know how that happens.
Yeah, or you decide, I am going to go to this, I'm going to go to Starbucks and drink a coffee and I'm going to really study. And then you get there and it's like, you forgot your Bible. The iPad will, you know, turn on. You run into someone who's like, I've been looking forward to talking to you. I've been looking for you all week. And you're like, oh Lord, this is not what I had planned to do, right? Keep fighting for that time with the Lord. keep being intentional about that time. So what can we do when we feel like my time has been stolen from me? So first, like, reconcile. My expectation was, like, I was going to do this special time, and it's been taken. How can we get our heart right in the midst of that? Does anybody want to? So first we can acknowledge I'm a little bit discouraged. I was expecting to do something different with this. I was expecting to have an hour of time with you, Lord, and suddenly I had to take care of my child's needs because they're awake and they don't know how to be quiet because they're two and they want to tell me everything. Or, you know, they're starving because they've been not had any food for 12 hours and I need to tend to them, right? Who has Philippians 4? Is that you, Alma? Okay, I'm going to turn it over there. Let's go look at Philippians 4 to help us answer this question. Go right ahead.
Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. So that's the second step, is to take Philippians 4, 6, and 7 to heart and don't be anxious. Lord, I had a plan. You have a different plan. I'm okay with that. I'm going to trust you that I'm going to get time with you. And then I'm going to be intentional about looking for it. Maybe I'm going to make my child at breakfast and sit next to them. And I'm going to read my Bible out loud to them. Maybe when I meet my friend at the coffee shop, I spend time talking to them. And then I go out and sit in my car. It's really hot right now. But turn on your AC and sit in the car, right? Or I'm going to put what you've done in front of me and be faithful there. But I'm not going to stop making priority to be spending that time with you and looking to renew my mind. Just because my expectation was not met in it's going to be this way. I'm going to have it on my terms, right? Or I'm going to read the Bible when I get in bed at night. And I'm going to have a great time with the Lord. And then you get in bed and you're like, open your Bible and you fall asleep within 30 seconds. Well, that's okay. When you wake up in the middle of the night and your tummy's sore or for some reason you just can't sleep, don't waste that time. That could be a great opportunity to dwell on the scripture you've been meditating on, to open up your Bible and read a bit more, the devotional you've been using. Be intentional with your time and don't be anxious. The Lord is going to help you as you pray out to Him and call on Him. As we read, I don't remember if Christina read that. That's why I was trying to Christina. Calling on the Lord and asking, please help me. Help this to be a desire and a priority in my life. So let's go ahead and take a look at how we can do this. Does anybody have anything that they want to comment or ask or even some helpful information on what we just shared? So the crux of that was, you can do everything, but without Christ, it's going to come to nothing. You need the Lord. You can do really good, great things, but without the Lord, it's going to be in vain. At some point, it will crack. It will fall apart. We need the Lord to be able to do what He's called us to do. And when we seek Him, He's faithful. He'll give us the strength that we need to do what He's called us to do. And respond rightly in the midst of the situations that we can't expect or even plan for. Right? One time I had a kid go, if next time I just appreciate it if you could let me know ahead of time about some like emergency that had come up, and I would like kind of chuckle and say, well, the nature of the situation was that it was an emergency that happened unbeknownst to me. And I just laughed because I understood the difficulty they were having with this sudden demand, like, we're changing plans and something's gonna change, and I wasn't expecting it. I'm like, I wasn't expecting it either. But, you know, it didn't surprise God. He knew your car was going to break today. He knew the AC was going to go out. Okay, Lord, I'm going to Philippians 4, 6, renew my mind, and I'm going to be ready to continue to pursue you today. So let's talk about the how-to years. I love this quote from A.W. Tozer, whatever keeps me from my Bible is my enemy, however harmless it may appear to be. So your to-do list, your family, does anybody else have what is the main thing that happens in your mind when you open your Bible that distracts you from getting deep into prayer and reading and study? Groceries.
My phone.
The phone.
It'll buzz, like I'm using it as a Bible and then it's distracting me.
Yes.
The physical one is better.
Yes. What else?
Honestly, for me, it's that sometimes, like, just focusing, it's hard to focus my mind. Whether it's waking up early, and then I'm like, I should make coffee, but I'm going to wake up the kids, and then it's like my mind just goes after that to, like, all the other stuff, and it's just focusing.
Yes. You go to make the coffee and like something wasn't put right in the cabinet, so you go to fix that, and then you go to get the coffee beans and like you notice something else wasn't put on the shelf, and then you go in the laundry room and then laundry hasn't been switched, and before you know it, you're like, it's been 45 minutes, you still don't have coffee, nor have you read your Bible. Is this just me? Probably not. You're like, why? What's happening? Do I need coffee to read my Bible? No. Okay. So, if that is keeping you, I'm so sorry. But if your coffee is keeping you from getting your Bible read, right? I am proof you can read your Bible without coffee. I don't like it, but I can do it, right? We can do it. You can do it. If you're like, I am going to read my Bible. Nothing will stop me. And then there's adorable little child's face or something. You're a darling little puppy or something comes out and you're just like, you know, okay, Lord, here we go. I'm ready. I'm not ready, God. I'm ready. So when we notice that we are having a challenge, let's brainstorm and fix it, right? Like, don't keep persevering in it. So, like, I did have no coffee this morning right away, and it was hard, but I did it because of that very thing, Mary, that you were saying. What can we do otherwise? We could find a consistent place. That might be helpful. Like, I'm going to go in my closet. Who's going to come in my closet? I don't know. No, probably nobody, right? Until they know I'm in there. Then everyone's going to come. Every single person. But you might need to have a same regular place, a regular time. Put what you need, like, nearby. Put a little basket. But you could use something, a little shelf. Keep your stuff, make it easy for yourself. Set yourself up for success, right? Like, if you're going to go to the gym at 5 a.m., what do you usually do?
Pack the gym.
Not do it. No, you pack your stuff the day before. You lay out your outfit, you get your sneakers out, your socks, and whatever else. So it's like, I have no excuse. It's going to happen. So think that way about spending time with the Lord. And similarly, so this is talking about, we're talking about personal devotions, but similarly, getting to church, right? So whether it's for EWIT, Women's Bible Study, or a home group, or Sunday morning, what can I do to make this happen? Nothing is going to keep me from this. This is my lifeblood. This is my source. I need to do this. Okay, I'm going to set out the clothes. I'm going to take my shower the night before instead of the morning. I'm going to do my hair the night before. Whatever I can do the night before, I'm going to, you know, set out the granola bars or whatever your family are. We eat granola bars because it's easy. We're setting out the granola bars. I'm putting out your water bottles. We're doing all the things. We're moving the car so that people aren't locked in who need to leave early. And we are going to do it, guys. Like, that's, you know, that's our goal, right? That's the way we need to be thinking about personal devotions. And speaking particularly, I want to mention that for the best time of day to do this, and then I'd love to hear what you guys think. The best time of the day could do this. Could be the morning. It could be mid-morning. It could be when the baby's sleeping. It could be after coffee. Yeah, it could be bedtime. The best time for you is the time when you're going to do it. That's the best time. So don't get in the mindset that it has to be early morning or I failed. So instead, maybe think of it like eating. Do you or your kids, do they eat once a day? Are you like, okay, kids, here's the midday meal. See you tomorrow. No, like they're eating like maybe constantly. You're like, you just had a snack. You don't need to eat again. Just hang on. Lunch is in an hour. That should be like our Bible intake. Our time in the Word should be just regular. It should be a normal part of our life. Maybe you spend a few minutes in the morning reading, and then you're spending time mid-morning listening to hymns or music and meditating on scripture. And it's even reminding you the hymn lyrics or the music that you're listening to that's worshiping God is reminding you of scriptures that you've been studying and reading, right? And then midday, maybe you're praying with your kids, with yourself, with a friend that you meet for certain people. And then in the afternoon, you're reading again. Maybe before bed, you're getting out one of your books that you're reading or your bio on a missionary. You're reading and you're pouring into your mind and pushing your mind, right? Like, so you're taking your mind for a walk, like a dog on a leash, back to the Lord, back to spiritual things, reminding yourself, this life is temporary, the life to come is eternal. All of my life is getting me ready for eternity. I want to be intentional and faithful. And if my mind, like we just read in Romans 8, if my mind is set on the things of the Spirit, what's going to happen? I'm going to live by the the spirit. My life is going to be pleasing to God. I cannot be pleasing to God if my mind is set on the things of the flesh. It's hostile to God. So keep just taking your mind there, right? And how much do you have to train a dog to walk well? Sometimes a lot. I mean, it depends on the dog. So I don't know what kind of dog you are, but I need a lot of training, right? Like I need a lot. And so don't be discouraged with yourself if you're like, man, I've been doing this for like how many years and I'm still having a hard time. It's okay. Just be faithful. Does it really matter as long as you get there? No, not at all. All right, just get there. And if you have people with you, like a dog or a child or, you know, let's just do it together. Hey, can we just stop for a minute and pray? I really wanted to listen to this podcast, this sermon. Can we do that together for a few minutes? They will likely be blessed by it because if they are a believer, they are also striving to grow in spiritual things as well. Mm-hmm. Anybody want to add in what they found has been successful with them with spending time in the Word?
I sometimes would read. I like the idea of reading first thing in the morning, but it generally doesn't happen. So I try to read at night, and then I'll just write on a note card like the main things that I like really stood out to me. And I'll just have it by my bed so that when I wake up, I can just look at that. And sometimes that's enough to kind of get me through when things are crazy in the morning.
That's a great idea.
I think it's helpful to have a reading plan. Whether it's something that you find in the back of your Bible, or you're going to read a proverb a day and five psalms, or read a psalm a day, or have a plan. Mm-hmm. So that you're not opening your Bible, sticking your finger there and say, oh, this is my verse for today.
I love that. And that is a great segue because that's our next section is chatting about that too.
I'm a to-do list person.
Yes.
So on my to-do list is prayer and Bible reading.
Right.
And because I love checking it off too.
Yes.
It's, you know, so in order to have it as a priority, it goes on the list.
It's on the list. That's exactly right. Managing your time so that you don't run out of time for that. And actually in our app, there is a section, and you may not know that, but in our app, there is a section for Bible. So if you go into our app, there on the bottom, all the way on the left is a little Bible tab. And when you get in there, you can scroll through and you can pick where you want. And then if there is a scripture, there's a plan you can pick on here. And if there is a sermon that is related to the section of the Bible you're in, it's right here at the top and you can just listen to it. So, if you're even like, I don't know what to do, here's foolproof. But there are a lot of different ways. So this is on your worksheet pages that talk about, like Edie, you said, reading through a psalm a day or Proverbs. I brought some books that I have enjoyed, and I didn't bring, there's other ones. These are just a very small sampling. But this one is Praying Through Scripture, and there's lots of books like this. Sue, did you bring one like this? Don Whitney's, I think?
Yeah.
Okay, so another praying with scripture, right? Is that what yours is? Yes.
Praying the Bible.
Praying the Bible. And there's little pieces in here that help you so that you know I'm praying rightly, but also are kind of giving you, I mean, I love it because it's from all over the scripture. Like, I'm not regularly in Revelation, but I'm here in my praying through the scripture, my handbook. It's wonderful. So you can read the Bible in a year plan. There's also Bibles in like 2 years or 3 years. You can read through the whole thing. There's even 6 months if you're like really heady, or just New Testament, just Old Testament. Another way that you can read is do a book of the Bible and a short book of the Bible and read it every day all the way through and do that for a month. Or a section of the Bible. That's one of John MacArthur's favorite ways that he recommends. So maybe you read like the first like six chapters of John and you read it every day and you read it every day for a month. And you get to know it very well. And do like what you were saying, Mary. Just write down questions and write down things that you're learning. One of my favorite ways to read is to, as I'm reading, just be writing down, am I doing this? What does this mean? What is, like, if I was in Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Just even looking there and meditating on that and writing that down. Writing out the verse in my journal, right? So I've got like a billion of these at my house. I just ordered a box of them off Amazon. And they have no lines, which is great for me. But you can get one that does have lines. and everything in my life goes in here. And I may never look at it again, but it's so helpful because just writing it helped me to articulate, what does that mean, rejoice? Why is Paul telling me to rejoice? What does it mean to rejoice in the Lord versus just rejoice? Mm-hmm. And always, does that mean all the time? And why does he repeat it? So any question that I might have, I'm writing down, I'm circling, I'm underlining, and I'm meditating and thinking on it. Then I'm like, what other verses do I know about rejoicing? Looking up cross-references or going to the back of my Bible, looking up the word rejoice, and looking up those scriptures and writing it down next to it. And then even asking my husband, what do you know about this scripture? Where should I go? What should I look at? And then maybe after I've been all those things going, okay, now I'm going to go see what Matt Henry had to say about this. And opening up a commentary and seeing, like, okay, he references these scriptures. Opening up those and looking at those and writing down ones that are particularly helpful. And then the Lord, in a very sweet way, tends to bring about circumstances where I actually needed what I was studying on that day for somebody in my life. But if I hadn't studied it, I wouldn't have had it to give to them, right? Isn't that sweet how the Lord does that? Like a little reward, right? And if I hadn't studied, I would still have said something to them, I'm sure, but it wouldn't have been nearly as helpful, right? And so being able to find something that you do to help keep your mind writing, maybe walk outside while you're listening to the scripture. If you super duper need coffee, then like get it ready the night before and just like push a button so that it's like, and you're just like, and you're reading your Bible, right? There's also Bible studies like this one. So John MacArthur. So this one's 12 weeks, but you can read it and write. So this keeps you focused. During the year, there are certain times where Our Lady Study has homework, so you could use that as kind of like a jumping off point into your Bible time. There's ones like this, which are, we call them like little knives or daggers, sorry, and they are super helpful. This one's on compassion, but there's other ones that I feel like, I don't remember if I read this one, I think this was my husband's, but, like bitterness, fear, you're being anxious, those that you're like, ooh, those are really challenging because they're so helpful. They reveal our deficiencies, right? I think I have, oh, look, I do have fear in here, but ooh, there you go. You can look at this one. So those are really helpful, or even a devotional, like Streams in the Desert. There's lots of devotionals. We've all, if you're like, I don't know what to do, this one's labeled by date. If you're like, I don't know what devotional to use, like, we look at all of us here. Wonderful ladies. Just ask somebody and we'll give you a recommendation. And that can be a jumping off point. Mama's Refill also I really enjoyed. So that's a website where the woman who wrote it's called Pam Forrester and it's called Doorpost Publishing. The website's mamasrefill.com. I want to say it's like $40 a year maybe. It's really helpful. She goes through books of the Bible. She goes through topics and you can get it right into your email. So you just open up your email and it's telling you, go through and I did like James 1 and 2 like that with her. Go through James, chapter 1, verse 1. And she's helping you think about, read it, go to a commentary, underline things, notice certain things. It's just a guided study through a section of scripture. It helps you to be intentional. If you're like, I don't know, I'm just opening it. I feel like I'm getting distracted. What am I supposed to glean? It helps to direct you. Anybody else want to share what you do or have done that's really helpful during your reading and studying time?
I write out my prayers. It helps me. So I don't get it. I don't like word for word, but general, okay, praising him, thanking him. Because otherwise I get distracted.
That's great. That would be like a way to account for all the ways God's been faithful too as you look back. Look at all these prayers God has answered.
I invite the Holy Spirit to come and illuminate his word to me so that it's scripture speaking to me. And I prefer just reading the pure scripture over devotionals because it's like there's so much noise in the world that there's so many distractions that when I spend time in the word with the Lord, it's just like me and him. And it's like if there's a time when I'm tired, I have a lot of physical afflictions where I have a flare-up or a migraine or whatever, it's like, okay, Lord, I'm being intentional about wanting to spend time with you. And it can be like taking a little break, pulling away, meditating, coming back, jumping back into it, but just not neglecting my, you know, obligation to be in the Word. And so, and I love what one pastor once said, it's like the mark of a true believer is like, one is you love the Lord, you love his Word, and you love his church.
Yeah. That's great. Thank you. if using something electronically, I love using the Bible Hub, because if you get to one verse that you're just meditating on, you can typically click on different words in there that aren't like in your vocabulary specifically, in the sense of like you don't understand the depth of it and meaning. It's a really quick resource and helpful guide to just understanding a verse a little better.
Mm. Kind of off of Agnes, using electronics, myself and a few girls, we have this like app that we all use. The, what is it called? The Bible app.
Bible app.
But the accountability part, I think, for me, is very helpful. Just seeing that there are multiple girls reading the same scripture, and I'm like, oh, those girls are ahead, I'm behind, I need to catch up. So that helps sometimes.
I love that.
And with electronics, it makes it easier.
That's great. Like using your to-do list in your favor, like motivating, positive peer pressure.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about prayer suggestions. So it's great to pray alone. Sometimes that doesn't happen. You can aim for it. Again, little children, animals, people, husbands. Husbands are important. Tend to need you. You're like, no, I'm doing nothing. I was waiting to serve you. How can I help? So hoping, prioritizing, setting it aside, striving, right? Like, okay, if I strive to have this time at like 6 a.m., 7 a.m., before my household is awake with you, Lord, like 6 days a week, even if I get interrupted like 3, I still get 4. 4 is better than 0. So you may have heard the phrase, if you aim for nothing, you'll hit it every time. That's how we should be thinking. Like, if I just lay down and go, well, I guess I just can't do anything, I'm not going to try. Well, you can't do that because that's disobeying God. So let's get up and let's set a goal together, right? What are we going to aim for? I want to get up these days. I'm going to be strategic about these. I'm going to take walks on these days. I'm going to go sit in my car alone, right? Or whatever this is. Like, this is how I'm going to get this quiet alone time to be able to pray with the Lord. One of the times that I found is really productive is if I have to drive somewhere, not listening to music or sermon or podcast or catching up on a Marco Polo or whatever it is, I'm like, okay, great, time to get stuff done. I'm in the car, I'm going to go. I'm going to just pray, just me and the Lord. And I can pray and say anything because nobody's here to listen to me. This is great, right? Like at my house, I'm always like, you know, because I don't want any kid to be like, wow, Mom, you're praying for that? Yes, I am. I'm very needy. But to be able to have that time alone with the Lord is very, very sweet. Or maybe just going for a walk and praying with the Lord while you're walking, praying scripture back to the Lord, which is what these types of books, like the one that Sue held up or this one, are really helpful for. Praying with your family members at every meal, whether it's your kids, your mom, your sister, being able to help others to turn toward the Lord because you're just naturally living that way is very sweet. Making sure that you're praying with your family during family devotion time. So some of us are older and we're not like grown up and we have jobs and stuff, right? But okay, we're going to pray. This is important. We're praying together as family devotion time. Even just a quick, we're going to pray together as we walk out the door for our day or for our week. Keeping cards for each day of the week and spreading out your prayer list. So we'll talk about that in just a minute to make it manageable so you're not spending like, you know, a huge chunk of time on one day praying for everybody and then the rest of the week is like, Lord, thanks for today. Amen. Like you're, but there is something to be said for that, right? It's okay to just pray, Lord, thank you so much. That's a legitimate prayer. So don't put yourself in a place where you think, I've got to really come up with something really eloquent. Like, man, I heard like Eric or Nick or Mark, they prayed and it was really great and long and they had big words and I've got to figure out how to pray like that. The Lord knows your heart. Come before him in humility, with joy, out of love for him, and just offer up to him what you have. If big words come naturally to you, then pray with big words. And if they don't, then don't. You don't have to, you know, you could go like get some new vocabulary if you want. Like once a day they have like vocabulary list your email. Then you can have big words. But pray where you are right now, without feeling hindered because you don't have all of the right things that you want to say, knowing the Lord receives you because of Christ, not because of you praying a particular way or sounding really good. When you promise to pray for someone, just try to do it right away. Then you won't forget. Or even pray with them right then. That's also really sweet. Someone shares a need. Can we pray for that real quick? Sure, that's great. Isn't that wonderful? So then you're blessed
they're blessed because they're hearing your prayer. It's like a salve for their heart, you know? You're going before the throne for them. And then you're reminded even later as you walk away, like, yeah, I'm going to keep praying for them. Pray with your husband before you go to sleep at night. Possibly if you have a husband and he doesn't fall asleep first. Or you first, right? Honey, I love you. You're already, someone's already asleep. That's okay. Pray in the morning when you get up. Pray when you, the idea is pray whenever. Pray all the time. When you're in the car and the kids and an ambulance passes, pray. When you are trying to find something and you can't find it in your house, pray. Lord, we are known for that. I will ask my kids, have you prayed? Oh, no, okay. Lord, we don't know where this, and it's a super, like, unspiritual sounding prayer. Lord, we don't know where the, I'm trying to think of what the last thing was. I was lost. I cannot remember. Lord, we don't know where it is, but you know where it is. Would you please help us find it? And if we don't find it, help us not to be grouchy about it, because we know that we don't need to have it right now, and you're going to make a way for us to get done what we need to get done. Amen. And then, like, usually we find it pretty soon after. And if not, then it's diffused that pressure building up in our hearts. It's like, where is it? Who took it? And you're like, who wants to take your Pokemon card? That's, you know, whatever it is. You're just like, this is illogical. No one stole from you or your family members. But you're just helping yourself to turn to the Lord in everything. Because, like Vodi Bakum says, whatever you're not praying about, you're saying, I got it, God. I don't really need your help with this. And I don't know about you, but I feel like my life is constantly God going, you don't got it. No, you need my help. And I can either fight it and be like, no, no, really, I'm going to do it. Or I can yield in humility and say, God, I really, really need your help. Please help me to do what I need to do here, whether it's find the thing or to honor you in a different way. The last suggestion in this area, and then I'd love to hear your suggestions for having success in prayer, is cry out to God verbally so your kids can hear you, especially when you're being tested. One of the sweetest times in prayer that my kids saw, and I know they saw it because then I saw them mimic it, was when we were driving in really bad weather, and I'm in the middle of the interstate with lots of cars. I can't just be like, well, we're just stopping here until the weather passes. I'm like, we're driving, and it's dark and raining, it's starting to hail, and I'm like, that thing where you sit forward really far in your seat so you can see, drive better, and turn down the radio, and I'm like, okay, we're gonna, and I'm just praying as I'm driving. There's like lightning striking near our car, we can feel the road, you know, I'm just like, Lord, protect us, help us to be safe, we trust you, God, thank you for keeping us safe so far. And then not even a few months later, I'm in the car with one of my kids, and they start praying when the weather starts getting bad. I was not even really, I'm like, yeah, it's bad, but you know, we're okay. They're like, Lord, please help. I was like, wow, praise God. They saw me, and I was scared the first time. I was like, Lord, I'm scared. Help us, take care of us. They mimicked that because they saw me doing it, and I did it out of a genuine fear. This is scary, God. I don't know what's going to happen. Anybody else want to suggest?
Oh, that's precious.
It was
so sweet.
It was so, I was just like, why are they praying? Oh, it was so sweet. You're scared. Okay, yes, God, save us, you know. It was so sweet, though, you know. It was very precious. So how else? Where have you guys had success or suggestions you've heard for persevering and making prayer successful in your life?
I would sometimes, when I would take the kids to school on my way home, I have a 20-minute drive. So that's when I would usually pray, but now it's summer, so no more school now for the next few months. So now I have to think of something else.
Yeah, I think I'll drive to your school, guys, so you have some quiet prayer.
I always like praying in the morning right before I wake up and start my day.
Yes.
Because I never know what's going to happen.
Yes. If you want to be a good prayer, pray that God would make you a good prayer. Mm-hmm. God, I really want to be more intentional in prayer. I want to be able to have success and not just come to you when I'm in need, but I want to constantly be coming to you. I want to know, like what Paul said about unceasing prayer, I want to have a constant conversation with you. Help me, God. Just ask him for help. so that even before your eyes are open, right, you're praying, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for whatever it holds. Thank you that my throat's scratching. Thank you that somebody's already awake upstairs. Thank you that I can feel that, you know, the fan's up really high and I'm freezing and I don't want to get in bed. Thank you, God, you're going to have, you know. I'm praying in that pseudo-awake sleep moment. God, help me get out of bed. I know I need to get out. I don't want to get out, God, but I know that I need to. I'm really tired. I don't look at, I mean, I'm having a conversation with the Lord. I'm not even awake yet, trying to convince the Lord that I can sleep longer, even though my alarm has gone off, right? That is, we want to get to that place where it's like, Lord, all of the things I'm thinking and wanting, I'm just giving it all to you, and you're just going to help me. Here I am, like a little child, right? Christ says that we should come like a little child. Think about when your child comes to you. Do they come with, like, guile? No, they're completely without. I need you for everything, Mom, and they're unashamed about it. I can't open this cheese stick. I need to be white. What are we doing today? Why aren't we watching the show I want to watch? Where is Daddy? Can we go to the friend's house? My sibling took this toy from me, even though it's theirs and I want it. You're like, as an adult, we guard those things sometimes, right? We're just a little bit more hindered, like, well, I know that sounds ridiculous. I won't say that. Try, practice coming to the Lord with just all of those thoughts. Like, Lord, I know that I shouldn't be, fill in the blank. I know I shouldn't be jealous. My friend has such an amazing voice. I really wish I could sing like her, but I can't. But I feel this jealousy, and I want to be a singer like her. But God, you've given me a different gift. But I don't want it, but it's what you gave me. So help me be okay with it, even though I don't like it, because I know this is totally different. Right? You're just having that long conversation with the Lord, because otherwise you're just doing what? You're keeping it in your head, and it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't profit. Right? So pouring that all out to the Lord and giving that to Him. So He can change your heart.
I think Philippians 4:4-9 helps me with that, because we're to rejoice in the Lord always. We're to take our supplications before Him. We're to ask Him for everything that we need, but we're also to find our joy in Him, and that means giving praise for Him all the time. And really studying that passage has changed my prayer.
Amen. So the rest of that passage, we read before verses 6 and 7, but the first starts with rejoice, is where you're talking about, Christina. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord's at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Practice these things, make your requests known to God in everything, and God's peace will guard your heart. So let's talk about these ideas for reading the Bible. You should be on that page with that index cards like Nellie has there. You see the printed there. So this is just an idea of a way that you can write it down. The Proverbs. There's 31 Proverbs in a month. So this is talking about daily Bible reading. So you could parse it out like this and put a proverb on a day. Or we talked about reading a book a month. So you're reading the same book over and over again within a month. So if there's 5 chapters, you're reading chapter 1 through day 1 is day chapter 1, and you keep going, and when you read through the book, you just hit the next one. You just keep reading for that whole month, so you've read that chapter or that book, excuse me, a handful of times, depending on how long it is. You can use a daily reading plan like Edie was suggesting. So Robert Murray Machane's plan, MacArthur Daily Bible. I mean, there's really an endless stream. I think, Lana, what you said is so helpful. A lot of us are very encouraged by accountability. So maybe find somebody that would love to read the Bible with you. Come on, hold me accountable. Can we hold you accountable? Can we just help each other to make sure that we're reading? Not just rando reading. Like, yeah, I read my specific chapter, verse, whatever I was going to read today, right? Which is helpful because when you go through something like this as well, or our women's Bible study, it's kind of propelling you forward. It's like pushing you forward, right? Like those electrical bikes that they have now. You're not like doing all the pedaling on your own. It's kind of like helping you to move along. Get a devotional book like The Streams in the Desert, Valley of Vision, Strength for Today, Morning and Evening. Those are all really good examples for things that you could read and writing it down and parsing it out Prayer is the same, using the same type of index card. If you really love writing things, that can be super helpful. And then writing down who you're going to pray for on what day. So you can lump them into, like, categories, right? Like, I'm going to pray for pastors and leaders. Although I feel like that should be, like, maybe every day. Pastors and leaders. If you have multiple children, you can put them on different days. You could put relatives and neighbors, small group, unsaved family, missionaries, other extended family, church members alphabetically, or maybe in your that you know very well, or ones who have particular health issues, or like our church is very has a lot of ladies having babies, so you can be like all the pregnant moms, all the new moms who need a lot of prayer, all the people I know who are, you know, moving or getting looking for work, whatever it is, putting them all down, and so you're not praying for everybody. Like Monday, I started off strong. And then by the time I got to Wednesday, I was like, ooh, I wasn't really praying for anybody except myself, right? Anybody else want to share what they do for praying for a multitude of people? Bev, I know you pray for a multitude of people. Is this similar to how you do it on the...
I actually have a prayer notebook. So I do that and just expand it. And I do the child, 1, 2, 3, 4, a missionary a day, a pastor a day, church folk in there. Gals I'm discipling and their families each day. So. And I base it all to, I flesh out the Lord's Prayer as well. Because the Lord said, pray this way, but not in a rote way. It's our Father who art in heaven. Holy is your name. You park there. Because part of prayer is worship. Mm-hmm. And you worship on, you get perspective. When you stop right here. And then, you know, you go through, your will be done. You pray that, and you're like, oh, the will for you today was for my car to break down, the AC to go out. So you're prepared for the day when you pray to the Lord. And then my other favorite part of that prayer is, forgive me for my sins. So you're confessing your sin, as I forgive those who trespass against me. And I'll pause. And then I remember, oops, I do have bitterness. There is something that bugged me. And then I'll confess. And I will say, okay, Lord, forgive me because I've been harboring bitterness. Forgive me for that as I forgive them because they hurt me. So the Lord's Prayer is just Acts prayer, all of them. But that's what's encompassed with my little prayer book. So
that's great. Thank you for sharing
that. It's years and years of learning. From older ladies. That's been very good.
So there you mentioned the Acts prayer down a little bit further on the page, talks about the Acts prayer style, and you probably are familiar with that. You've used that before in women's study as well, praying in a certain way to direct our prayer so that, probably so we don't fall back into some of those ruts, right? We often tend to pray like, Lord, I need. Lord, give me. Lord, comfort me, right? If we are helping ourselves to stay along a path that we know is biblical, it will help our prayer to be right and not just to become, it's all about me, it's all about my need. I only pray in the way that's comfortable to me. So the ACTS prayer style is based on the acronym ACTS, Adoration of God, Confession, Thanksgiving, and then Supplication. Another way that you can pray is by alphabetically. You can label pages with the letter alphabet, and it can be super helpful for the way that your mind works. There's not a wrong way to organize these things. It's really what's going to work best for you in the way that you're thinking. Some of your brain might be kind of, your thought process might be kind of circuitous. Like, you think about this person, and they remind you of this person, which reminds you of this place, and then you did this event, and that reminds you of this person over here, and you're like, if we have that, that's great afterwards to jot those things down, because then you can pray for those things regularly versus every time I've got to take my brain on this little kind of like scenic trail, right? Do you ever see like scenic bypass? It's like it's the longer way, but more beautiful. Yes. However, we want to be faithful to continue to pray for those people and events and situations in our lives. We don't always need to take the scenic trail to get there. If we are faithful to have a note card or a notebook, we can jot those things down and go, that's right, I did want to pray for my mom's uncle's sister or whatever it was that was reminded you
triggered your brain, oh yeah, that's right, I need to pray for that person, I want to pray for them. What about singing? Does anybody sing? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great way to encourage your heart in the Lord. That definitely would wake up your children, Mary. But you could, like, go on the porch or something, right? Listen to hymns or songs. Even listen to the scripture directly and encourage your heart as you're singing. And then it's almost like this. You're like, okay, when does the reading, singing, and praying start, and when does it end? And you're like, I don't know. It's all this. I'm just coming to the Lord, and I'm worshiping Him, right? Because I'm opening my Bible, and I'm praying, Lord, illumine my eyes, help me understand your word. I'm writing down what I'm noticing, and that's causing me to remember a hymn or a song that we sang on Sunday and the lyrics. And then I'm thinking about Laura and Lizzie singing, and I'm praying for them, and then I'm suddenly remembering this. And right, and so it's all this really sweet, precious thing. You're like, wow, Lord, that was lovely. We can't always replicate that, though, which is why it's beautiful to have these, our books and our prayer notebooks, so that we can continue to be faithful and effective in our time with the Lord, even if I don't have that, like, 20 to 30 minutes or 10 minutes or 6 minutes, whatever little bit of time I have, it's, like, quiet, and I can just, like, I can hear, like, a pin drop in my brain, and you're like, oh, this is so lovely, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it happens, but a lot of times it doesn't, and can I still get to those places and pray for those people? Yes. It'll just take a little bit of diligence on my part. So there's some resources here. Does anybody else want to share about what they do that's helped them in their reading time? I know you guys list some apps and prayer notebooks. Linda, Stu, or Edie, is there anything that you guys are like, this was really helpful to me?
For me, it was I can't sit at home and pray. It just doesn't work for me. I have to be out on my walk. And I use a free app called PrayerMate. And you can, I set it up, you can set it up like certain things you want to pray for every day, but certain things, you have categories, and it randomly picks what you will pray for the day. So it just, and you pick the frequency. And then I start with certain scriptures that I've picked out, certain psalms, so, because I find focusing is really hard. So this is after my Bible reading. I go out for my walk, and it will put me into a particular psalm or section of scripture, and I pray that back to the Lord. So it focuses me on the Lord, and that's my praise and worship time. And but it really gets me praying. And then you just swipe, and it gives you the person to pray for. Swipe, it gives you, you know, so it changes it up. It's not the same thing all the time, but it's really, I find it helpful for me to stay focused.
That's
so
great.
Yeah.
That's great. Mary, that might be helpful.
Yeah, what was it called? PrayerMate?
PrayerMate.
Okay.
I use it
free.
Too, but I use it at home.
Yeah.
Rather than walking. Mm-hmm. And there's also an app called Five Psalms, which, like Linda was saying, to pray scripture.
Yeah.
So it'll do, like today is the 6th, so it'll be Psalm 6, Psalm 36, 66, 96, and it just brings them all up.
Or you can do that by the day of the month.
Right.
There's 5 Psalms for each day. So like
yeah.
The first, you pray for 131, 61,
yeah.
91.
That's great.
Well, it's right there. I don't have to look through. I just go to the
app.
You
have to do that.
Yeah. You know I wasn't good at math.
So I want to end with thank you for bringing the comedy. That's great. I want to end with our with a quote about busyness, because we're good at being busy and escaping, forgetting the priority of laying the foundation. So. This quote is a two-parter. It's the first part of it's by Reagan Rose, and then within it is a quote by Paul Washer. Perpetual busyness can certainly steal our joy, but it can also be an obstacle to our faithfulness. Paul Washer once said, one of the greatest attacks of the enemy is to make you busy, to make you hurried, to make you noisy, to get you distracted, to fill the people of God and the church of God with so much noise and activity, there's no room for prayer or being alone with God, or silent. There's no room for meditation on His Word. a well-managed calendar or to-do list, which we will talk about in EWIT this summer, can only go so far. For the chronically overcommitted, busyness is more of a mindset malady than a productivity problem. So be willing, I hope you heard in that, be willing to take your mindset to the Lord and say, God, help me if I am finding myself perpetually busy. Help me to keep first things first. My first thing first is to come to you and to set my heart and my mind on you and what you want me to be doing. And to have an attitude that says, Lord, my life is yours. Which means all the things that are going to happen to me today and with me. Help me to be ready for it and respond rightly. Does anybody have any questions or input or comments or feedback you'd love to drop into this time on laying the foundation?
I just think the best example we have is Jesus, because there's so many examples throughout the New Testament where he would just... He would withdraw himself from the crowds or from his disciples to be away from the noise and the busyness, like you were saying, and just to be with the Father. I think that's a good reminder of how we should be imitators of Christ.
Yeah, that's very true. And like Eric was pointing out last week or week before last, when the crowds chased him down and interrupted that time when he escaped, he had compassion. That's always a little bit chafing to me when I have less than compassion for whoever's interrupted me. Oh, this is not like Christ. Help me to have compassion on whoever it is. Well, let's pray for our time together. Linda, will you close this in prayer?
Sure. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord God, you deserve to be our number one priority, Father. Our communication with you, our Bible study, which is you speaking to us, and our prayer, which is us speaking to you, Father, impress on each of our hearts just how important that truly is for our life now and in heaven. Father, because until it's a true priority, until we recognize the absolute life or death importance of it, it won't be a priority. So, Father, I pray you would impress that on each of our hearts, Lord God, even if we're having daily quiet times and prayer times, Lord God, just impress it all the more that we might be more fervent in study and prayer. Mm-hmm. Father, that we would be prepared when one day we meet you face to face. Father, we thank you so much for this church and for these ladies who have come out tonight, even though, Lord, they probably all had long days. Father, I just thank you that just showing up here shows that they want to learn. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless them for that. I do pray for Agnes, that you would help her to solve her car trouble. And I do pray for Alma that you would provide for her, Lord, a home that is nice and cool. So, Father, please bless us until we meet again. And help us, Father, to serve you willingly and diligently and joyfully every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.